the Word of God more than anything in this beautiful life that you have. So why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing that as our hearts are fully surrendered to you, I pray that you will have your way. Because, Father God, we desire to serve you more than anything. And we desire, Lord, to give of our very best unto you because, Lord, you gave your best to us and you continue to do so. So, Father, we just want to lift you up. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we've been on a sermon series, as you know, called The Christian Atheist. And we are finally on our final sermon, which is entitled, I Just Don't Care About Other People. That's the name of our sermon today. And once again, we know a Christian atheist is defined as someone who calls himself a Christian but has very little or no evidence of God actually being present in his life. And so with this next characteristic, this person may say he's a Christian, but he has no care or concern or compassion for other people as Jesus would definitely have. But first things first, I'd like to honor all the mothers here in our sanctuary. So I'm going to ask all the mothers just to stand up. You know, we want to honor you. So if you have a mom, please stand up. Please stand. Let's give them a clap offering. Come on, stand up. We want to just honor you. Oh, just keep on standing. And I want to pray for you guys. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the moms who are standing right now. I thank you, Lord, for their lives, knowing, Father, that they give so much to their children and to everyone, actually, that are truly in their lives. And we thank you, Lord, just for the sacrifices that they make. And we ask, Lord, that your blessings will flow deep and strong in their lives. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your gift, Lord, to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Praise God. Well, being that this would be the last sermon of the series, you know, I wanted to present a message that would recognize the awesome and unending love of a mother. You know, I thought, what better way to do this than by contrasting a Christian atheist concern and care for others with a mother's concern, especially for their children. Yes, I know, it sounds like it's two total extremes, but, you know, one never thinks about others while the other thinks about, particularly, their kids. But isn't it true about mothers, you know, that truly they're so willing to sacrifice of themselves to their loved ones? And, you know, I got to tell you about this little girl. One day, this little girl is sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. And she suddenly notices that her mother has several strands of white hair sticking out of, you know, her black brunette head. And the girl asks her, Mom, why are some of your hairs white? And her mother replies, well, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy or give me reason to make me worry about you, one of my hairs turn white. And so the little girl thinks about it for a little while, then asks the mom, hey, so how come all grandma's hairs are white then? And we know, right, that's moms, right? They just tend to worry. And I know my mom, she always worried about me when I was a little kid and growing up a teenager and then a young man. It just seems like it never ends. Even to this day, I go visit my mom. You know, she say, everything okay? You still eating? And you know, all this. I'm more concerned about her, you know. But the fact is, you know, no matter what age you are, isn't that how mothers are? They're always concerned for their children's well-being. So here's that question. The question is, so what are the Christian atheists' typical reasons for not caring about others? Well, look at number one here. The statement that they make, maybe, I just ain't got the time to help others. And let me ask you something. Have you ever noticed the good feeling that you get when you give of yourself? You know, you don't have to, but let's just say you're just willing just to give of your time to help someone. Because Perhaps you gave that time to help someone with a flat tire on the side of the road. Maybe it's a total stranger. Or perhaps you helped a lost child in the shopping mall be reunited with his mother in this large crowd. Or maybe when the clerk at the store gave you too much money in change, you caught the error and you gave back the excess. Yeah, even though you had to walk back to the store. Maybe it took you several minutes. You said, no, I got to do this. And I know you felt this before. Didn't it feel so good realizing that you did a good deed in helping someone out? Now, I got to tell you, it puts a spring in my step. When sometimes I know I give, you know, so many excuses, maybe no need, right? But I go ahead and do it, and I realize it's the Holy Spirit that had prompted me to do it. And when I did it, I realized how pleased the Lord was. And, you know, all these examples require you to be more of a giver than a taker. And giving of what, you may ask? Well, time, of course. And sometimes, for some of us, it just seems like we got so little bit time. You guys ever feel like that? Like, I don't got time. I got so much to do. And you could have easily made excuses, and you could have said, like, I just don't have the time to help a total stranger with a flat tire. Why would I do that? Or help a lost child with an irresponsible parent. You know, that's parents' fault that this child is lost. So you know what? I'm not going to help. Or you could, you know, say, why would I help a cashier that would make such a mistake? This cashier is probably going to lose his job anyway, making these mistakes. You can see, we can talk ourselves out of helping others simply because what? We don't got the what? The time. But let me ask you something. If the Holy Spirit is giving you these prompts to help others, do you think the Holy Spirit will do that? You better believe it. That's what God has called us to do. We better say, okay, Lord, I'm going to make the time. Amen? Because too often we find ourselves so busy in our days that we may not take the time to help someone that is truly in need. You know, it could be a total stranger that has just collapsed on the side of the road, or it could have been a relative or a friend that has marital or financial problems and just needs someone to turn to and talk to. Are you willing to be that person? Because sometimes we may simply ignore the fact that the person needs our help. And we may say things like, my schedule is just too busy, or I got enough problems of my own. I don't need to add someone's problem to my list. So we may give a blind eye or a deaf ear, right, to those who are desperately crying out to us. And look what Ephesians 5, 14 to 17. Look what it says there. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will what? Shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every what? Opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Making the most out of every opportunity. From who? From God. Because he's going to give you the opportunities. Because who else he's going to call? He's going to call us, knowing that he knows who the people that are out there that are hurting. He's going to call on you and me to make a difference in that person's life. Are you going to be willing? Or are you going to say, I just don't have the time? Yes, I can understand, brothers and sisters, because some days can be really hectic. I know when it gets really busy, sometimes, you know, we just want to do our own thing. And we just want to, you know, get through the day, go home, crash out, and just relax. But here's the thing I want you to understand. If we make it a habit of turning people away, especially when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us to help someone, I'm going to tell you, we may be missing out on opportunities that God is giving us to reach out to the lost and to the brokenhearted. Because simply you made that decision to reach out to someone who knows, this person who never knew Christ could make a decision for him. Simply because you were willing to reach out. Amen? I want you to look what it says in Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we what? We don't give up. So then, as we have, there's that word again, opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. So we do good to who? To everyone. Well, remember, it's not just to your fellow brothers and sisters, it's to everyone. But it says especially, as Paul says, right? And so especially, if you know a brother or sister is lacking or is in need, help them out. Amen? Because reaching out and doing good doesn't always mean that you got to start by sharing your faith in the scriptures. I mean, we got to do that eventually. But, you know, it can start up by just bringing the person chicken noodle soup if they're sick, you know, at home and in bed, right? And just by you doing this little gesture of showing that you care about them can make all the difference in the world. Or just calling someone who lost a loved one and just tell them, you know what, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you. Wow, I'm telling you, it makes a world of a difference. Especially I remember when I lost my dad, you know, he passed away years ago. And, you know, friends were just calling me and say, Ben, I'm praying for you. Are you okay? Man, I got to tell you, that meant so much to me. And I remember, you know, I don't forget things like that. Because I was, like, grieving. I was, like, so sad. But, you know, people show that they care. And I got to tell you, I'm sure that means a lot to you when your friends or family do the same for you. I want you to look what it says here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 to 3. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. Wow, you are not that important. Okay, this is what Paul said, right, in this translation. You're not that important. And it almost sounds like, wow, Paul, how come you gotta be so harsh? Because isn't that the truth? Sometimes we think we're so important. We think that we're the ones who have the most important schedule and everyone else say, no big deal. And Paul says, no, you're not that important. And, you know, remember, he's the one who speaks the truth. And sometimes we need to hear that, you know, realize, no, I'm really not that important. I got to make time for the people that I love. And the last thing you ever want to say or think is, you know, that your schedule is much busier or more important than everyone else's, right? And you may say, oh, so that's why, you know, they should understand. I'm a busy person. I'm a very important person, you know. Can you imagine that? I mean, sometimes a parent may say this to their child. And can you just imagine how the child feels? So I guess your job is more important than me then, right, Dad? Come on. Sometimes we do this, and I'm going to say, I'm guilty. And I realize the Holy Spirit will speak to me and say, Ben, stop what you're doing. Take time to hug your children, to hug your wife, to show them that you really love them. We all need to do this, don't we? Because we can get so caught up in the busyness of our days, we forget. And suddenly we're wondering, how come, you know, our relationships with our loved ones aren't that strong anymore? And that's why we got to say, Lord, I'm slowing down. I'm going to do as you ask of me. Because look what it says. Look what James says in James 4, 13 to 15. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make some money. Why? Do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, and then what? Vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. And, you know, time, it keeps on ticking. It never stops. It just keeps on ticking. And sometimes we think, like, we got all the time in the world. Okay, maybe tomorrow I'll go ahead and play some basketball with my kid. Or after I get all this work done, you know, and guess what? Time keeps on ticking. I say, okay, we'll just wait, you know, not now, Junior, maybe later. Later comes, and guess what? Never happens. And we miss out all on these opportunities to show love for our loved ones. You know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? God says, no, take the time now. If you have the time, do it. Because we keep on making excuses. You know, like it says here, you're just like a mist. Just a little while, you spray a mist. It kind of disperses, and it's gone. You got the time, make the time. And spend it with your loved ones. Because, yeah, God gives us these opportunities to show his love. And we got to say, yes, I'm willing to sacrifice my time for my loved ones. Amen? I want you to look at number two now. Okay, this is a touchy one where a Christian atheist may say, I just ain't got the money to help others. Okay? And even though you may have, right? Whether this may be true or not, right? The Christian atheist will tend to want to spend most of his or her money, guess who? On themselves, right? And the fact is, you know, sometimes God blesses us and he gives us more than what we could ever need or want. But yet, we want to spend it only on ourselves. I want you to look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion. We're talking no compassion here, okay? How can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by what? Our actions. And you know, as the Holy Spirit leads, you know, sometimes you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say, you know what, help them out. Are you willing to do it? Because, you know, we can just keep on making excuses. Nah, no need, you know, and we can say, maybe someone else will help this person, right? I gotta tell you, there's this certain grumpy old rich man who visited this rabbi, and he took the rich man by the hand and led him to a window, okay? And he says, look out there, the rabbi said, and the rich man looked into the street, and the rabbi asked him, so what do you see? Well, I see men, women, and children, answered the rich man. Again, the rabbi took him by the hand, and this time he led him to a mirror. Now, what do you see? And he says, now I see myself, he says. Then the rabbi said, behold, in the window there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver. And no sooner is the silver added, than you cease to see others, but you see only yourself. That's all it is, a silver that is on glass. And suddenly you can't see through it. The only thing you can see is what? Yourself. And I gotta tell you, I know the devil, he's working so hard to get the focus on ourselves. There's a little silver, and we go, wow. Suddenly, you don't see the needs of others. Suddenly, the focus is on yourself. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, we must be careful not to be so easily swayed by the things of the world. Because it is easy. Come on, for anybody. You know, because the very fact the devil, he's going to flash it in front of your face. This could be yours. And suddenly we notice, you know, there are other people around that are in need, but we're focused on the very thing the devil wants us to put the focus on. And suddenly, you know, our relationships will be affected. You know, there's this recent survey in America that revealed that Christians in America think and behave no differently from anyone else. Yeah, this is found in the survey. Here are some examples taken from the survey. The first one, they asked if they donated any money to a nonprofit organization in the past month, okay? So 47% of Christians say they did, And 48% of non-Christians say they did. It's about the same, right? It's 47% for Christians, 48% for non-Christians. And they asked the next one if they have been divorced. And 27% of Christians say they have been divorced. And 23% of non-Christians said they have been divorced. So it's higher for the Christians. And then the next one, they asked if they volunteered time to help at a nonprofit organization in the past week. 29% of Christians say they did. And 27% of non-Christians say they did. So it's about the same, right? Whether you're a Christian or not. The next one, they asked if they bought a lottery ticket in the past week. And 23% of Christians admitted, yeah, I bought a lottery ticket. I probably bought more than one, maybe several, right? And 27% of non-Christians said they did. So it was higher for the non-Christian. And the last one, they asked if they gave money to a homeless person or a poor person in the past year. And 24% of Christians say they did. But you know how many for non-Christians? 34%. It was higher for the non-Christians. They were willing to help a homeless person that was in need. And you kind of think about this, right? And we realize, you know, the biggest problem for the Christian atheist is that he or she may have more than enough money for their own needs and even for their own wants, but they want to spend it sometimes just on themselves. And they may say that their wealth is all blessings from God, right? That's what we should say. But they simply don't want to bless others with the wealth that God has given to them. And we should be willing, right? But no one should force you. Don't think, okay, now Pastor Ben preaches me, I got to. No, you don't have to. But you got to be led by the Spirit. What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because he will ask you to do this sometimes to help someone who is in great need. And as you know it's his voice, you just do what he asks of you. Amen? And you know you're going to be even more blessed as you choose to do it his way. I want you to look what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So is money that is evil? Well, you know, we talk about this all the time, right? You know, in a lot of my sermons. It's the love of money, right? When you start to love money more than God and everybody else. But you gotta look what it says here. Notice in verse 9, it says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation. It doesn't say those who are rich fall into temptation. Those who want, who just has this desire more than anything to get rich, that they put everything aside and try to accomplish their goal of just getting rich. You know, a few years ago, there's this columnist in the newspaper. His name is Jim Bishop, and he reported what happened to people who won the state lottery. Because their mind just said, I got to get rich. No matter what, I got to get rich. So they buy all these lottery tickets, right? Well, there's this lady. Her name is Rosa Grayson, and she's from Washington. It's not very much. She just won $400 a week for life. Okay, for life now, okay? So, you know, it doesn't sound like very much. But you know what she did after that? She now hides in her apartment. For the first time in her life, she says she's getting nervous twitches. According to her, everyone that's close to her feels like they are entitled to her wealth. $400 a week, okay? I mean, and now they said, no, you got to give me some because you want it. You should give me some. And you know what she says? She says, people are so mean. And she says, I hope you win the lottery and see what happens to you. It's not as good as you think it is. That's what she says. And so when there's this other family, they're the McGoggarts, right, of New York, and they won the Irish sweepstakes. They were so happy, right? Pop was a steam fitter. His son Johnny, 26 years old at the time, you know, he loaded crates on docks. And Tim, he was going to night school. So what did Pop do? He split the millions that he won with his sons. And they said, you know, this money will not change our plans, and it will not change us. You know what happened? A year later, after the million was divided between them, right, the boys weren't speaking to Pop anymore or each other. You see what money will do, the love of money? Johnny was chasing expensive racehorses, and Tim was catching up with his expensive girls. And you know, Mom, she accused Pop of hiding his stash of cash from her. Within 2 years, all of them were in court for non-payment of income taxes. You know what Mom says? You know, it's the devil's own money. That's what it is. It created all this trouble for us. And you know, both boys were studying hard to become alcoholics, and all of them had hoped and prayed for sudden wealth. A lot of people, they say, Lord God, please just give us a stroke of luck and help us to win the lottery. A lot of people are praying this kind of prayer, and they got it, right? But their love of money destroyed their relationships with one another. And when a person has a great love for money that is for themselves, they will have no desire to help those who are in need. Can you see that? That's why we got to make sure as Christians, we never get to that point where we just love money more than anything else. We got to make sure our love belongs to Jesus Christ, first and foremost, and then to our loved ones, to the people that are around us. That's how God would want it. You make money your God, you are in trouble, I'm going to tell you. Well, look what it says in Proverbs 21:13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. Wow. You shut your ears, you shut your eyes to see what the needs are of the poor and needy. Guess what? When one day it may happen to you, it's going to be the same thing. No one's going to be willing to help you. And they, like you said, right, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. Well, what you put in, that's what you're going to get. So let us be a people that have great generosity as the Holy Spirit leads you, okay? As the Holy Spirit directs you to help someone, just do it. And I got to tell you about this man who calls up this very rich man in the community and says to this man, our records show that you have never given to our charity, and we were wondering if you'd like to donate. And the rich man replied, does your record show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died? That I have a disabled brother who is unable to work, or a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet? And the person responded, no, sir, our records don't show these things. So he responded, well, if I don't give to them, what makes you think I'll give to you? And you know, that's the thing, right? When you have this kind of attitude, right? You don't want to give to anybody, period. And I got to tell you, just to be honest with you, I kind of grew up with this kind of mentality, being of Chinese descent, you know, but I want to say Pake, right? Pake. Not so much Chinese, Pake descent, right? It's just like, yeah, everything you got to save for yourself, right? You got to make sure you're taken care of, your family taken care of. And so I used to be kind of like not a real total penny pincher, but yeah, sometimes I did pinch the penny, if you know what I'm saying. And it's like, I got to save this, right? And that's a kind of, I guess you can say, mentality that I had. But you know what? I think God, he knows, you know, what you have or don't have. And God, can he be the one that give you more? Yes. If you're willing to be generous and be led by the Holy Spirit in your generosity, I'm going to tell you, it can double, it can triple, it can go over 100-fold. Because simply you're willing to help others who are in need. And because this is what the scriptures tell us. It is our calling. It is something that God wants us to do, to help those who are in need. Well, let me tell you now about a man whose name may be very familiar to you. His name is John D. Rockefeller. You guys heard of him, right? Who hasn't, right? John D. Rockefeller Sr. He was very strong and husky when he was a young man. And he early determined to earn money, and he drove himself always to the limit. He said, I'm going to make more money, more money, right? So he always worked extra hours, and he worked into the wee hours of the night. You know, at age 33, he earned his first $1 million. At age 43, he controlled the biggest company in the world. And at age 53, he was the richest man on the earth and the world's only billionaire. Only billionaire at age 53. And then, you know what happened? He developed a sickness called alopecia. You guys ever heard of that? It's where the hair on his head dropped off and his eyelashes and his eyebrows just disappeared. And he was shrunken like a mummy. And his weekly income was $1 million. Every week he would get $1 million, okay? But he only was able to digest milk and crackers. That's it. Nothing else. He had $1 million a week, and he could only eat milk and crackers. And he was so hated in Pennsylvania that he had to have bodyguards day and night. He couldn't sleep, and, you know, he just totally stopped smiling. You could never see a smile on his face anymore, and he just enjoyed nothing in life. His life was just like, blah, there's nothing to enjoy. And, you know, the doctors predicted that he would not live past another year. And you know what the newspaper, I couldn't believe this, the newspaper had gleefully written his obituary in advance, just hoping that he would die soon. What? Can you believe that, right? And you know, he spent so many nights awake and just totally sleepless. And you know, he realized one night, as he was just kind of just like pacing around, he realized with this new light that he could not take one dime into the next world. Just like a revelation came to him. And he's just suddenly thought, you know what? Money isn't everything. Can you imagine? He's just all of a sudden, money isn't everything. And then he just realized the fact that God was displeased with his sinful life. Whoa. Then and there, you know what he did? He surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, I'm going to give my life to you. And he repented of his sins, and he pleaded to God to change his heart. Wow, did you know this? I didn't know this about John D. Rockefeller. And the next morning, it tells us he awoke as a new man. Suddenly, his thinking is all changed. And he began to help churches with his amassed wealth, you know, help building church buildings and giving to the missionaries. Suddenly, he was just saying, oh, I want to just give it all out. I don't want to hold it anymore. I want to give it all out. And the poor and needy, they were not overlooked. And he established what is called, you guys know this, the Rockefeller Foundation, right? Whose funding of medical researches led to the discovery of penicillin. It's because of him. That there is, something that can eliminate all these diseases, right? There was discovery of penicillin because of his money that was contributed. And there were many other wonder drugs, you know, that came forth because of his contributions. And you know what happened afterwards? John D. Rockefeller started to sleep well. He could fall asleep, you know, and stay asleep throughout the night, just like a little baby, right? He could eat again, and he enjoyed life once again. You could say he began to live life to the fullest, just as Jesus promised, I have come so that you may have what? The abundant life. Can you see this, brother and sister? You want the abundant life? You got to be willing to give, to help, to show to God, hey, all this that I have, Lord, is yours. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm willing to just give it out as you lead me. I'm telling you, you're going to have more and more abundance when you have the willingness to do this. I'm not telling you, this is what the scriptures tell us. It's when you hold it all for yourself, you're not going to have more abundance. It becomes less because God looks at your heart and he realizes it hasn't grown. Your love hasn't grown. So God is waiting for us to have this heart of generosity. I got to tell you something. You know, the doctors had predicted that he wouldn't live over the age of 54. You know what age he died? 98 years old. Oh, 98. Because the doctor said, no, he ain't going to survive. One more year. No, his heart changed. And God knew this. So what did God do? Bless him with a long life. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I want you to look at point number three now. The Christian atheist may say, I just ain't got the energy, right? Or the desire or the heart to help others. And we could say that, right? I just can't do it. I just don't want to help. You know, I got other things to do too, you know? And sometimes for the Christian atheist, he may be so caught up in himself, he simply doesn't have the heart or desire, if you're going to be honest, right, to help others because he'd rather be doing something else for himself. I want you to look what it says there in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And yeah, it starts there. Take an interest. You know, just realize, you know, it's not all about you. Are you willing to say, you know what? I want to just get to know this brother or sister. I just want to just talk and just get to know him or her. Simple as that. That's what he means to take an interest. But you know what? Jesus, he takes it a step further. I want you to look what it says here in John 13, verses 34 to 35. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So it's more than just taking interest now. It's showing love. It's not just simply just saying it with your words. It's by actions. It's by reaching out your hand and saying, you need some help? Or you can say, you know, can I pray for you? I mean, this is what God has called us to do as followers of his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we can take an interest in other people and really show them what real love is all about, I'm going to tell you, miracles, I'm talking huge miracles, will take place. It's the kind of love that goes deep. It's the kind of love that is willing to make sacrifices. You know, consider the story of this man named John Merrick. You ever heard of him? He was known more by his disfigured appearance, and he was labeled as the Elephant Man. And, you know, there was a movie that was made several years ago about his life. And, you know, John Merrick, he was born in Leicester, England in 1862. He suffered a severe bone and skin disorder that progressively disfigured him grotesquely. And at age 3, he was abandoned by his mother to do slave labor at a workhouse. And he was rescued from there only to spend most of his life being exploited in a traveling circus exhibit that featured him as a freak. Yeah, he said, come see the Elephant Man. And, you know, toward the end of his life, you know, Merrick, he was befriended. He was given a home and treated with respect by this famous London surgeon. His name was Sir Frederick Treves. And, you know, Treves introduced Merrick to this woman named Layla Maturin. And she was a widow who was the first woman to smile at Merrick. First woman now. To smile at Merrick and touch his hand and speak to him. And gradually, others, including the Princess of Wales and other actresses, right, look beyond his loathsome flesh and discover that there was a real human being with feelings and desires. And through their caring, a man considered nothing more than a horrible freak emerged to become an intelligent, gentle, and dignified human being. It's because it just took one person to say, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be willing to help this person. I'm going to be willing to show them, you know, I love them. I got to tell you, just a little bit can go such a long way. Just a little bit of love can go such a long way in changing a person's life. I want you to look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Just think about how loving, how kind our Lord Jesus Christ was to us. He was willing to suffer and sacrifice his life for us. Are you willing to do the same for others that are around you? You know, there's this little girl who was late coming home from supper, and her mother made the expected irate parents' demand to know where she had been. And the little girl replied that she had stopped to help Janie, whose bicycle was broken in a fall. And the mother says, wait a minute, you don't know anything about fixing bicycles. And the little girl says, yeah, I know that, Mom. I just stopped to help her cry. I just stopped to help her cry. And you know, there are people that are hurting out there. Are you willing just to stop and cry with them? And give them encouragement. Give them hope. Knowing that as you tell them about Jesus Christ, they realize, yeah, I got all the hope in the world that I need because I can put my faith and trust in a God that never lets me down. This is something God would want us to do. And you got to realize when you're doing this for someone as the Holy Spirit leads you, you're not so much doing it for the person. Guess who you're doing it for? For Jesus. Look what it says here, Matthew 25, 37 to 40. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Every time you see someone who's in need and you feel the Holy Spirit leading you, just picture, that's Jesus. Are you willing to help Jesus? Because he's saying, when we're willing to do that for the least of these brethren, we're doing it for Jesus. That should be your motivation, you know, that I'm doing it for the Lord. Because you know what? You can be an unbeliever and still do all these good deeds, but there's something special when you realize you're doing it for Jesus. I got to tell you, it's just this joy comes over you. It's not the same. I got to tell you, it's not the same. When you know you're doing it for the Lord, God, he gives you love, he gives you peace, he gives you joy in great abundance to show you how pleased he is. Because you were willing to do what he asks of you. Amen? I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. You know, as I said earlier, we're going to contrast, right, the Christian atheist and the mother in the area of care and concern for others. Well, I haven't done so yet, but I'm going to do it right now. And we're talking about the care and concern for the mom, especially for their children, okay? So first of all, I want you to look at Proverbs 31, 27 to 29. I want you to read that with me. And this is the, the very fact is talking about this wife, this mother who stands out, you know, above everybody else. Okay, let's read it together in Proverbs 31. Ready? Go. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness. Everyone say teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wow, that's a godly mom. What she would do? Teach the kids how to be what? Kind. Kind. She looks well through the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Can you imagine a husband saying this about the wife? You are the cream of the crop, right? You're the epitome of what mothers should be. Wow, you know? But I got to tell you, like most godly moms, right, their role as a nurturer is found in the way that she is willing to invest her time instilling God's wisdom into her children and teaching them how to be kind, to be loving people. That's what God would want for all of us to do, to teach our children. You know, there's this pastor. His name is Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, and he had four sons that were all preachers, okay? And someone came into the drawing room when all the family was there, and they wanted to see what their son Howard was like, okay? What his personality and, you know, what all the, how he's like, how he handles people. So they asked him this question. Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? And you know, Howard, he had a great admiration for his father. And as he looked straight across, you know, across and looked at his father, and without a moment's hesitation, you know what he answered? My mother is. Because think about this, right? You think, oh, yeah, you got to be the father. The father's a pastor, a preacher. No, my mom was the one who kept us on the straight and narrow. Mom was the one who told us, okay, don't hang out with those bad kids. You know, you make sure you stay a good kid because mom is going to keep an eye on you, you know. And that's usually the mom, isn't it? I'm not trying to discount dads. Dads are great too, you know. But the fact is, it's something sweet about the way mom does it. You know what I'm saying? It comes straight from the heart. And as a child, you know it is. It's coming straight from the heart. And I'd like to conclude with this. You know, years ago, there was this young mother who was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms when she was overtaken by this blinding blizzard. And she never reached her destination. And when the blizzard had ceased, her body was found by searchers beneath this mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing and she wrapped it around her baby. And when they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found that the baby was still alive and was doing well. And you know what she had done? She had covered her body over his and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her motherly love for her child. And years later, that child, his name is David Lloyd George. He grown to manhood and became Prime Minister of Great Britain. And without doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. All because this mother was willing to sacrifice her life for her child. I want you to read with me what it says there in John 15, verses 12 to 13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Greater love has no comparison. But this person who is willing to lay down his or her life. This is the greatest love, kind of love. It has to do with what? Sacrifice. Sacrificing what? Your own life. Who comes to mind when you think of that? Who was willing to sacrifice his life? Jesus did, just like Jesus, a mother would surrender and sacrifice all her time, all her wealth, all her energy. All these things don't mean anything. But first and foremost is the welfare of her children. And she, you know, she would do it without hesitation, especially you guys, the ones that are moms. You know what I'm talking about. It's a no-brainer. I do it in an instant, right? You would say that. You would think that. Because that is what real love is all about. Amen? And I would like to conclude by showing you this video that really just emphasizes the great love and sacrifice of a mother. Benson, could you go ahead and play that, please?
Sacrifice in this world than the sacrifice a mother makes for her child. One day a son was trying to avoid his mom because he knew he had to do his chores. But he should have known that nothing gets past his mom.
Well, good, honey. Now that you're here, you can do your chores now. Here you go.
Looking at the list of chores, he just didn't want to do the work. So he wrote down the price his mom was going to have to pay him to do his chores. His mom looked at the list, smiled, and decided to make a list of her own. The list would be a good reminder of everything a mom has to do that's not only not paid for, is usually not even noticed. The first reminder was how she had to carry him in her tummy for 9 months, showering him with love and waiting patiently for him to come into this world. The total cost? Free. Next was all the sleepless nights she stayed up, worrying about his health, making sure he was safe and taking care of his every need. Then, it was always keeping the house clean, sweeping the floors, and keeping a spotless place for everyone to come home to. After, it was all the times by his side whenever he felt sick, rubbing his forehead and giving him love. Next, it was all the time she helped take his pain away. Whenever he would get hurt, knowing that she would rather suffer than have her child feel any pain. Finally, she reminded him of the unconditional love she gave her son.
No, you can't have that.
Even when he would say,
I hate you.
She would respond,
well, I love you.
For all the things a mother does for a child, the total cost, priceless. The son, realizing just how much his mom did for him, turns the list back over, crosses out his price, and writes, paid in full. There's no greater sacrifice in this world than the sacrifice a mom makes for her child. Whether it's the endless worrying or the unconditional love, the early mornings or the late nights, the constant work or the lack of sleep, no words could ever describe the struggles a mom goes through. We all have our differences, and from time to time, it may seem like our moms ask a lot from us, but when we think about how much they sacrifice for us, nothing we could ever do would even compare. So many moms would give their children their last bite, even though they might still be hungry. Or they would give up their careers and their dreams to give their children the best chance at success. They would even stay up all night just to make sure their kids got home safely. So the next time your mom is asking a lot from you, just remember, it's already paid in full.
Praise God. Wow. Isn't that true? I got to tell you, you know, all the women that, you know, have been in my life, you know, I'm talking about my mom. I know there are many times that I know she was still hungry, but she had just like maybe just one piece of something that was left, and she would give it to me or my brother. I knew she was still hungry, but she said, no, you haven't. I seen it with Jonna Lee. She does it, you know, for our kids and even for me. Sometimes I know she's still hungry. She said, no, you can have it. That's a mom, isn't it? Come on. And that's why I got to tell you, we got to be so grateful for our moms. And, you know, if you, you know, haven't talked to your mom for a while, no, give them a call. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Wish her a happy Mother's Day. I'm just watching this video. I got to tell you, I was watching it. Actually, I watched it this morning. I found it. And I was at the kitchen table, and I was watching it. I started to sniff. And Benson was looking at me. What's wrong with you, Dad? You know? And I said, I feel like I want to hug my mom right now, you know. And it's not true. We got to realize, you know, that, yeah, that's our moms, right? And if your mom isn't here anymore, just you know, think about her. Just think about all the special things that she has done for you. Why not? And just realize her love is like one of a kind. It's truly the kind of love that is almost just exactly like our Father God's. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father God, we truly know that this is your desire, that we truly care about others. And Lord, just put it so deep in our hearts. This is such a great example because we just talked about what a Christian atheist would do. But Lord, we know the total opposite extreme of that is the love of a mother. Father, will you just instill that so deep within our hearts that we can truly love and care for others in this same way? To love deeply, not superficially, to love so deep that we know it is the very love of Christ. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I just listened to today's message and I realize I need to show more love and concern for the people around me because I know this is what God would want me to do. I know God has called me to be a person that will represent his love well. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, I know the Holy Spirit is tugging at my heart. I know that I got to step it up more, that I'm going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do as he asks, as he's asking me to show greater love to the people around me. And if this is your heart's cry, you're saying, yes, that is me. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, that is me, Lord? That is me. That is me. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Saying, Father, yes, I want to be a more loving and caring person because I know, Lord, if I say that I'm a Christian, I got to show to the world that the love of Christ is in me. Will you help me, Lord? Because we all need help in this area. Doesn't matter who you are. We all need your help, Father. Father, we just want to tell you how much we love you and how much we praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all of these things. And all my brothers and sisters say together, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Let's